Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Business Update Conference Call of SAMHI Hotels Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jaganwala, MD and CEO of SAMHI Hotels Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today we wanted to speak to all of you about a recent transaction that our board approved yesterday. So in summary, SAMHI has agreed to acquire 70% in a business called Rare India. It's a platform which was started in 2003 and supports more than 60 small experience-led hotels with about 990 rooms across 15 states in India, Bhutan and Nepal. Post SAMHI's investment, there is a proposed affiliation with Marriott, under which Rare will be appointed and recognized as Marriott's exclusive portfolio platform for the outdoor collection by Marriott Bonvoy for these markets. Our total investment is limited at about 47 crores or 470 million INR, which will allow us to acquire up to 70% stake in Rare India over the next 12 months through a combination of primary and secondary. We will obviously talk about Rare India and the broader opportunity, but basically this follows our time-tested strategy of discovering undervalued, underappreciated assets, in this case an operating platform, and collaborate with global brands to create and discover the inherent value. I think there are a few key rationale because of which we have considered this small strategic investment. Number one is we've all noticed as how the leisure segment in India and globally has shown phenomenal growth over the past few years. And especially hotels which are relatively smaller and experience-led have shown a strong pricing power. This transaction, interestingly, allows SAMHI to create a scalable brand-led platform in an extremely asset-light and capital-efficient model. It's a unique transaction which allows SAMHI to develop a brand platform, but through an affiliation with the Marriott Bonvoy's leading distribution network. A legacy of 20 years, Rare was started way back in 2003 or 4. So it's a legacy of 20 years, well-regarded founder and team who have remained committed to the portfolio, will allow SAMHI to actually continue to focus on its core competence of Tier 1 business hotels, while we support creating value in Rare. We believe there are five reasons, compelling reasons that make this transaction in a way transformational. First is the inherent growth in the experience-led leisure business. The legacy of the business we are investing in, which has been more than 20 years, it has respected founder, great set of partners and team. There is an existing scale of 67 hotels and about 990 rooms with immense growth opportunity. Our entry price, which is about total put together about 45, 47 crores, and the asset-light model for growth. And in the end, but not the least, affiliation with Marriott to support distribution, which we believe is the biggest challenge for any brand platform. This is a quick summary of the transaction. We are very happy to kind of report this because this marks two firsts for SAMHI. The first is our entry into the leisure segment in a scalable manner. And the second is the fact that this is SAMHI's first asset-light investment, which means after the first investment of about 45 crores, even which is over a 12-month period, we expect this platform requiring very little capital as it scales up. So we think that in the long term, it offers tremendous growth opportunities without really requiring us to put any material capital expenditure. This is a quick summary of the transaction. I'll now open the floor for Q&A and address all other through the questions itself.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and a good move in terms of diversification. Ashish, my first question is, I was looking at the numbers of Rare India and they have been growing at 15-16% over the 3 years. And we are paying 45 to 47 crore, what you have called for that 70% of the business. And the company is currently doing 3 crore as a revenue. So just trying to understand, see this Marriott distribution, everything, obviously we are helping, we would be helping them once, the acquisition is over. Aren't we kind of, just trying to understand why we are paying this kind of a multiple for this transaction. And especially, with everything going around cloud, platforms and software, which is, which a lot of these companies, like the introduction of Anthropic Cloud, so these companies are anyways under so much of pressure. Why we are paying such kind of a multiple for this? Thank you. That's my first question.
So Vikas, thank you. So first of all, total consideration we're paying is about, total primary secondary put together will be about 45 crores. The total enterprise value agreed is actually 49 crores. So it's not that 45 is being paid for 70%, Vikas, just to clarify, right? The total enterprise value agreed for our investment is about 49 crore rupees for the 100% of the current business value. So that's one clarification. The second, in terms of value, we are right, the trailing revenue is sub $500,000 or 3 crores. But see, this is not a backward-looking earnings acquisition. It's an opportunity to build a platform. Now, the value that is being paid is being paid for the following. Number one, this company is 23 years, has held these relationships with about 65-odd hotels, 900 rooms for a fairly long period of time. Second, if you go on rareindia.com, and by the way, all of this will go through a transformation, you will see the quality of assets that Rare is giving us access to. Now, in the end, the value will be created as Rare transforms from being a B2C platform to being a B2C platform, which is where the real income stream will start coming through. But there is a tremendous value in the fact that it carries an existing scale of about 1,000 rooms. So if you see, the total enterprise value is just about 4.5 lakhs per room. And if you put the B2C transition and the affiliation, the fact that the hotels will be sold on Marriott.com, I think the equity multiplier is massive. So absolutely, this acquisition is not based on an earning multiple because they're very, very, the whole business is going to be transformed from where it is to where it will be. It's about the value of the portfolio, the properties, the scale, and the transformation value that we will bring fairly quickly. Now, you're right, the efforts will be made by us because no doubts about it. But if you look at a reasonable estimate of what this platform can generate, it is expected to generate almost 60 to 70% return on capital employed. So while we're doing that effort, but us and our shareholders are being more than adequately compensated for that as well.
Okay, fair enough. Secondly, how does this Rare India investment fit into Sami's long-term strategy, given the company's historical focus on business hotels and office spaces? Could this investment signal a broader shift towards leisure and experiential hospitality, or it remains a small adjacency?
I think it's an adjacent opportunity. We remain fairly bullish and committed to our core business because that's why we've taken a bit of an asset-light point of view on leisure rather than deploying a lot of capital. We remain fairly excited, committed, and comfortable deploying capital in Tier 1 business hotels. That will continue to be by far a principal strategy for the foreseeable future. Rare India is a unique opportunity, and for the price and the amount of investment we are making, it can become a significant scalable asset-light model in future, but I don't think it distracts us from what we do on a daily basis. And that's why there is a value to the team as well, because Rare India's team has been running this business for the last 2 decades, and also trying, bringing this collaboration or affiliation with Marriott ensures that there is very little friction to grow this platform with an existing team and the brand, and therefore we can continue to focus on where we make most money.
Yes, sure. And my final question is, could you please share your current EBITDA flow you know, we can understand the implied valuation on EV EBITDA multiple page.
No, because that's difficult because it's a partnership firm right now, which is being converted into a private limited company. So in a partnership firm, you know, deriving EV EBITDA is just a very flawed method. I will repeat that we are paying about 4.5 lakh rupees per room value for an asset light platform. 45 crore value if today you were to go to a new startup, a founder who started a company with no business, you would see, you know, when my investors invested in Sammy in 2011 in a business center with zero hotels, the pre-money valuation was $5 million, right? Now, when you look at a team which has been running a company for the last 23 years, when you look at a platform with 1,000 rooms and 65 hotels in 15 states, 3 countries, I think the price is extremely extractive. It's a very low entry price for the value that will be created. So, again, I'll urge everyone to not look at backward-looking. It's no different to some of the assets we've acquired with us in the past, where we paid acquired assets at 2% yield and 3% yield and 4% yield, but today we are sitting at 20% yield and 30% yield. So our inherent business model is to buy or invest in underappreciated, undiscovered assets, in this case operating platform, and our entire valuation is based on what value we will create out of that.
No, fair enough. Thanks a lot. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to know that how many hotels and rooms that are currently listed on RARE already have a branding partner, and also what is the typical listing fee that a hotel needs to pay for listing on the platform? I mean, is it linked to the revenue or is it kind of fixed in nature?
Great question, Jinesh. So as of today, of the 67 hotels, there is no brand affiliation that these hotels have. They, of course, are listed on OTAs. A few of the hotels may have affiliations like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which are very similar platforms globally. So all of that rationalization will happen. But most of the hotels are independently owned, independently operated, being represented by RARE for a long time. There may be some overlaps with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, maybe one or two with small luxury hotels of the world, but not really beyond that. Okay, there is no global brand distribution which is conflicted at this point of time. Two, in terms of the transformation, so right now you're right, there are two sorts of contractual opportunities that RARE has. One is a subscription fee, which is very minimal, which ranges from 2 lakhs to 4 lakhs per hotel per year for it to be listed. They are also entitled to 18 to 20% commission on direct sales. But because RARE had not completed the transition from B2B to B2C, their tech platform, the booking engine, all of that was not ready. They were not really generating any B2C income, even though they're entitled to an 18 to 20% commission. Post the investment by us, and actually equally important affiliation with Marriott, there are a few things which are going to happen. Number one is, of course, we're going to enable RARE India's to start receiving direct bookings, which will be then distributed on Marriott.com as part of the outdoor collection by Marriott Bonvoy. So as we've always learned, it's a very powerful distribution platform, gives the portfolio a very wide visibility. So we think as we transition RARE from current B2B model to B2C, the subscription fee will really become kind of a moot point. Honestly, it's a very small amount, negligible. The real source of income will be the B2C business that RARE India will start generating because of it being the exclusive partner for this region for outdoor collection by Marriott Bonvoy.
Got that. So just to confirm, 18 to 20% commission is what we'll get once the hotel typically lists on the platform and the booking essentially happens through that platform. That understanding is correct, right?
Right.
And sir, a second question with respect to platform ownership and expanding the network coverage is that, say for example, there's an isolated owner, and if he intends to partner with Marriott, I mean, he can also do that directly, given the fact that quite a bit of the properties that are listed on the platform have an ARR of approximately 25,000 plus, which indicates that a portfolio is quite mature. So what is the advantage of having an access to Marriott's network via the RARE platform, which essentially will benefit us rather than independently approaching the branding partner. So just wanted to understand this bit from you.
Very good question, actually. So today, if you see, we need to go back into the history and pedigree of Rare. The reason why Rare as a bootstrap company with its current founder and team has sustained itself for over two decades and has had some legendary owners and properties remain a part of it is because of its underlying thesis of only selecting highly curated, experiential, story-led, host-led hotels. And this is a relationship business, Jinesh, right? So if you look at a lot of owners who build the Rare community, I always tell my team it's more a community than a company, actually, right? That community is all about authentic stories, experiences, host-driven. That sort of story is what has remained Rare's strength and will continue to be Rare's strength, by the way. And Rare continued to do that even when it was not affiliated with any distribution platform. It did that successfully even when it didn't have a substantial investment to back growth. So with the investment and the ability to put those hotels on a global distribution platform, we think Rare's attractiveness for future owners becomes even higher. Now, can a Rare owner become go to Marriott directly? Answer is yes, but there is nuances to it. If you're directly going to Marriott for a franchise or a management agreement, a very small 15-room hotel in Nubra Valley or a tea state in Darjeeling or up in Uttarakhand or in the backwaters of Kerala, does it want to change its look and feel and design and, you know, all of those nuances to be a Marriott branded hotel? I don't think it will make economic sense. So there is a huge pool of assets where the whole value is in the authenticity and the story and not necessarily a quintessential traditional brand standard. So Rare helps us to aggregate or collect all of those portfolios together and get them distributed. If somebody has a 50-room hotel or a 40-room hotel, which it is willing to rebrand, renovate, bring to a certain brand standard and then make a part of the Marriott core brand, of course he can do that. And there'll always be a case like that, by the way.
Got that. So one last question from my side. We have mentioned in the presentation that the revenue potential from this platform could be about 90 to 100 crores in medium term. And effectively, the number of hotels and rooms are doubling. So just wanted to get some sense whether we have already shortlisted those hotels that could perhaps come under the Rare umbrella, or is it a bit early to comment as of now?
So the journey of Rare from current 67 to about 100 is fairly visible. There is an active pipeline of about 25 odd properties which are. So I will caution you that Rare and its founder Shobha have a fairly strict checklist before they onboard a Rare hotel, which will include, as I said, things like authenticity, story, involvement of the host, but more important, the touch points on sustainability and community. So unlike many other aggregator platforms where they chase numbers as to be 900 and 200 and 300, I don't think we as an investor support that sort of a story. So there is a very careful selection and curation of the properties which can come on Rare. But in spite of that high bar, there is almost a 25 to 30 active pipeline. So the path from, I would say, current 67 to about 90 to 100 is fairly visible. And Jinesh, post the 100 going to 120 to 150 is a systematic growth of the portfolio. If you see the geographic distribution, we think Rare has built a remarkable reputation in the north, in the mountains, especially in Ladakh, Spiti, Uttarakhand. It has very, very strong presence in the central India. I think there is a lot of undiscovered gems and jewels in south of India. They've just done their first hotel in Bhutan, which will open up a new market for them. They've always had presence in Nepal, which can grow. And we think in times to come, Sri Lanka is a fairly interesting market. So with such a broad spectrum, their reputation, and now the ability to distribute, you know, alongside our investment on Marriott.com, I guess 120 to 150 should be considered as a near-term target and not a long-term target.
Got that. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Dinesh.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Nasir, just one question. You mentioned that over 70% of the rare hotels operate at a pricing level higher than 25,000 per night. Once these properties are integrated into the Marriott Bonvoy ecosystem, do you anticipate a further uplift in the rates due to the global distribution, or is the strategy primarily focused on increasing occupancy through the Marriott loyalty member base?
So not just state that, Karan, if we dig deeper into the rare portfolio, more than 50% of hotels today are static pricing, which means they follow a fixed pricing methodology, which is very rare, as the word says. We think that the distribution always helps both. It helps you with pricing and it helps you with volumes, right? So we believe that the rare distribution, by the way, currently we're also bringing the powerhouse of our Marriott Shared Services cluster to boost revenue for the rare properties. So it will not just be an electronic M.com distribution. We also think that this massive infrastructure that we have co-built for our Marriott operated hotels will also be kind of used to boost the sales volume in these hotels. So we do expect, and these properties are unique and special. So do they deserve the higher price? The answer is absolutely yes, you know. So we do think that both the pricing power and the volumes will significantly go up with this whole partnership that we've put together, of course, in addition to the platform growth.
So just a follow-up, if you look at the strategy going forward, given that historically you've looked at acquiring underappreciated assets and now perhaps an underappreciated platform, so how does this transaction change the long-term thought process in terms of acquiring assets or focusing on Tier 1 markets? Now there's experience here, perhaps are there more avenues which you'd look to tap into, or is this just one-off and perhaps depending on this you'll look at more opportunities in this experiential or leisure segment?
So Karan, I think our focus remains Tier 1 business, and I cannot repeat that enough. Not kind of telling that this is not significant. I think this creates a massive future value in Rossi's scalability. The fact that we now have the ability to grow our platform, Karan, without every time putting capital. So we were seeking an opportunity where the same skill set that we've applied to assets turnaround, which are extremely capital intensive, can be used to get to a more operating asset-like platform where the same efforts, same industry knowledge, same relationships can help us expand. So there's a lot of value here, but we should not forget the fact that if you and I were to talk in FY30, right, I think our leisure asset light would probably be not more than 5%, right? 5-7% of our top line. We are gunning for a 3,000 crore top line by that year. So if the asset light strategy comes to being even 150 to 200 crores or 225 crores, that's honestly sub 10%. So we should not deviate from what really makes us money and what has gotten us this far and what's a high conviction bet on the growth of the office and the aviation market. We've been tracking leisure as we've kind of spoke to a lot of investors in the past. We've been tracking leisure for the last 2 years. We were trying to find a unique set of opportunity for ourselves. And when we saw Rare with the scale, the size, the legacy, the team, the ability to partner and grow this, we just thought it was a very good adjacent opportunity for us. Now, point two, our love for data, okay? And the reason why we never invested in leisure was because we thought that our circle of competence is in business hotels. You know our SIT platform, the data that we have on that is all business hotels. So our ability to underwrite leisure hotels was highly diluted because we didn't have any data. But we do think that investing in Rare will help us build a database of information and knowledge about leisure market, and can we leverage that for selective turnaround bets in the leisure asset space? I think that's something that we'll evaluate as time comes. But what we know for certain is that that very small investment we are making, A, has its own benefits of compounding, but two, there is a side effect that we'll start getting a lot of data about the leisure segment, which could turn out to be very valuable for us in future as we seek that segment.
Great. That's helpful. Thank you, Ashish.
Thanks, Karan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. So just a couple of questions. So first of all, I think you're showing that the revenue potential is almost 30 times from where you are today. Can you show us the path to reach that 90 200 crores of revenue and how far we are talking about?
So Achal, page number 11 of our investor deck, and I think there are three or four levers to that really, right? The first lever is, of course, the network, how far the network grows. So right now it's about 60 plus. We expect it to almost double. And as I was responding to the earlier question, that doubling is based on a very visible pipeline of about 25-30, and the balance, of course, is a broader opportunity. So one variable to that jump is really the network effect. The second is the fact that currently there is zero B2C income, or when I say zero, a negligible B2C income, right? That's a new stream that will get created as we invest our money, convert Rare from B2B to B2C, start their website to become tech-enabled to start taking direct bookings, integrate that with Marriott.com and Bonvoy, right? So what will happen is that all of that integration will create a new source of revenue, which is today zero. So it's not a multiplication. It's actually the fact that it's a new source of business that is going to be generated through this whole partnership investment, tech, and then and the affiliation with Marriott. So that I don't really look at multiple. It's just a simple business of how much business you can produce and what's your takeout, what's your fee rate on that. I think that's what we have underwritten. In terms of timeline, we expect what we have shown on page number 3 to be a 3 to 4 year deliverable, that in that period this portfolio should get to 100 crore top line really.
Right. Just one clarification. So you've given the rate of 25,000 average pricing. What is the average overall occupancy rate for this Rare at the moment?
Oh, so currently the occupancy ranges from 35% to 45%. So it's a low occupancy. Typically, a lot of these hotels tend to be seasonal. But I think there's 35% to 45% occupancy. We think there's tremendous opportunity to boost occupancy for the owners here using the distribution. And two, as you boost occupancy, you get more visibility of the business. You have the ability to price them, you know.
Okay, fine. I think the rest of my questions are answered. Thanks.
Thank you, Ajay.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Mulya from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead. Vaibhav, you may please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. My first question was regarding the tech capabilities required for the B2C transition. Does Rare currently possess those capabilities, or does SAMI need to make additional investments and build those tech capabilities to transition towards the B2C model?
So, Vaibhav, the investment we're actually making in Rare is to enable that transition. But here is a lesson. Building a simple tech interface to take a booking is not that expensive, and actually there are a lot of off-the-shelf products available. The real expense comes when you're trying to build the distribution, and which we believe is extremely expensive given the world is becoming more and more competitive. That's why we took this strategic call that alongside our investment in Rare, we also have an in parallel discussion going on for an affiliation with Marriott, because that access to distribution, in my opinion, is insanely expensive if you want to build it on your own. So that, as always, we have done in our business hotel segment. That's something we're accessing through an existing operator who also happens to be a world leader, honestly, in terms of distribution. So our investment that we are making in Rare Webhub is towards enabling Rare India to build its tech platform, which enables it to link to Marriott.com and then allow individual Rare properties also to link to Rare India. So that's the investment we are making in Rare.
Understood, sir. Second question was on the key risk factors that we have mentioned in the presentation, mainly regarding the some of the properties may not be transitioning to Marriott distribution platform within the intended time frame. Can you elaborate more on that? How many properties do you expect actually to transition without any specific hurdles because of conflicting affiliation?
So Vaibhav, as of today, we don't see a definitive numerical risk here, but we felt that it is a risk factor that we need to highlight to the markets and the investor community. There are 67 hotels. As we go through integration, we have said there could be a potential that there's some properties which have a conflicting affiliation. As I said, there's no brand affiliation in any of these properties. Shobha, who's the founder, has always been very clear about that. But there are similar experiential distribution platforms like Mr. and Mrs. Smith and SLH. Some of these properties may have those parallel affiliations, and we will need to work through as to how that conflict gets resolved. Not material, Vaibhav, to answer you. It could be in single digits, to be honest with you. And that's why we've said that while we see that as a key risk factor, but we feel that the total platform scale is not as fed, because there's also a lot more new properties which are being evaluated to be added on, really. So the scale is not a threat, but from the existing 67, we wanted to think that there could be some which may not be able to be transitioned to Marriott.com.
Okay, but these properties will continue to remain listed on other OTAs?
No, OTAs, yes. I mean, the good thing, if at all good thing, is that a lot of rare hotels are not on OTAs today, which is, as you know, in today's world, rather rare, and we think that given the quality of these assets, the compelling stories they have to offer to the travelers, our ability to distribute them, they may not need to depend a lot more on external distribution platforms. But OTAs are always a formidable partner. So OTAs may remain a part of the distribution matrix, but I was talking about more branded distribution platforms, not the OTAs.
Understood, sir. And in the past, we have seen leisure being a very volatile segment in terms of demand visibility, and it is more prone to all the geopolitical uncertainty as well, which is why SANY has always refrained from investing more into leisure. And we are focused on core demand markets where there's a strong demand visibility for medium term. But this is a bit of a deviation from that strategy. Do you think we'll pursue more and more investments into leisure segments now going forward with this acquisition?
So, Vaibhav, you've hit the nail on the spot. The reason about volatility, customer preferences changing very frequently, is the reason that we've completely stayed away from making big box asset investments in leisure. I don't think our thesis changes with this. There's a reason why I've taken an asset-light bet. We've taken a bet on a very different segment of leisure, which is small experience-led rather than big box products and investment-led investments. So yes, I think we'll continue, as I said, we continue to be a big believer of the office and the airline and the business hotels that drives that business. This is an asset-light that we're deploying a very limited pool of capital. Just to put things in perspective, this 45 crore investment over a 12-month period will be probably just about 10% of our free cash that we are generating, but to get access to a fairly scalable platform, right? So, yeah, we'll remain focused on business when it comes to asset investment, and we've taken this as a long-term strategic bet being asset-light.
Understood, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ranodeep S. from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for entering a new space. Truly a remarkable moment. My question, which you alluded to earlier, Ashish, was this marks SANY's first structured entry into experiential leisure. As the platform scales, do you see SANY considering acquiring or incubating more experiential assets around RAE?
Not really. I mean, there could be one-off for a long-term period, but not really. We're not looking at starting to invest capital for experiential leisure, because we just think the two don't go together. I mean, these rare hotels are experiential because their owners have, for last 10, 15, 20, 25 years, have created those stories and experiences, right? I don't think it can be replicated by an investor just putting capital, even if that investor is us, Ronodeep, right? So that's why we found this story to be very compelling and honestly cannot be replicated, because if you want to replicate a Rare, it's not about 45 crores. It's not even about Marriott, honestly, or any other distribution platform. It's the story of those 65, 67 hotel owners at remote places across India, which have created these really, really charming stories. So we like this in an asset-light model where we are more a strategic investor. We are more providing the support of linking it to our existing operating partners for distribution. And after that, I think Shobha and her team are the people who built this company. They are totally committed and invested in scaling it up. So, you know, we can go back to doing what we do for a living and earn cash from there. We think this platform has a massive option value in future as it scales up, because I don't think it can be replicated, because for that somebody does need, if not 25, at least 10, 15 years, right? So that's the uniqueness about this opportunity. We don't see this getting us to start making sizable, repeatable bets in creating leisure assets. One-off, I cannot never say no. We are an opportunist investor. But other than that, is it going to change the strategy of starting to deploy a lot of capital in the leisure space? The answer is no, not as of today.
Sure, sure. In fact, that brings me to the next question. Given Rare currently operates at an average daily rate of around 25,000, which is almost 4x of our business hotels RevPAR, and add to that Marriott Bonvoy's global distribution, and add to that Sammy's operational expertise, are we underplaying it by saying 100 crore opportunity, or are we looking at a bigger number here?
See, the good thing, Ranadeep, about asset light is you need to really worry about your downside, okay? Because the upside is not requiring you to put more capital. If I talk about Sammy's core strategy, I know my downside, but for my upside, I need to find these hotels that I have to buy the asset, or in many cases, lease it, which is very capital efficient. Here, we think that the portfolio size, we may be underplaying grossly, right? We think this portfolio could be a lot bigger than what we've indicated on slide number 11, because there are these existing unique properties across our subcontinent, which are ready to be discovered and ready to be distributed, and ready for the story to be told to the world, right? In terms of the impact that Rare and this partnership can make for the performance of those hotels, we wanted to bite, you know, what we can chew, right? So we think that we can clearly help, you know, the property owners to uplift their both rate and definitely the volumes over the next year and a half, 2 years. Don't forget, while we talked about more than 70% of the hotels selling at upwards 25,000, there are probably 30% of the hotels today which sell upwards of 45,000 rupees in this portfolio. So this portfolio's pricing power could be substantially higher than what it is today, because the discovery is what was missing. It was known to a thoroughbred community of Rare travelers, right, or what was called Rare Circle, but this story needs to be discovered by a much wider audience of travelers who are seeking a not big box, repeatable stone and marble, but very, very on-ground, community-led travel story. So what is good for us, Ronodi, is we're not entering a portfolio where positioning or reputation is a concern, right? Even today, without distribution, these hotels were delivering rates upwards of 25, many of them upwards of 45,000. So absolutely no risk on reputation. All we need to do is improve discovery and booking, and I think we can unlock a lot more value. But in terms of number, I think given this is the first foray, it won't harm us to be more realistic than optimistic at this stage. We will revise this if we feel we are being pessimistic in due course.
Appreciate that, Ajit. I think always love your thought process, and all I can say at the closure is that Samuel must be smiling from other on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rajiv Bharati from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So on slide 11, this 25,000 per stay, which you said, let's say pre-COVID, this number what at what level?
pre-COVID?
I mean, a couple of years back because...
No, it's not a... So the volumes have obviously, Rajiv, shifted during COVID, but I will, at the cost of being a stuck record, I'll repeat that we're buying into legacy, you know, in terms of the quality of owners and properties. What we're just trying to get right is distribution and sales, right? So as I repeated earlier, these properties always were highly reputable, had its own fan base of travelers. So we have not really seen a big titanic shift in the pricing power of properties pre and post COVID. But I do think that the potential is a lot more.
Sure. So on your with B2C transition, and you said it's a partnership firm and, you know, because let's say whatever legal thing, you can basically monetize the 50 crore instantly, right, if that transition happens. So this 53 crore revenue subscription plus B2C is instant, right? Is it how it is?
Well, I wish anything in life was instant because the transition, Rajiv, itself will take a few quarters, right? But I think in fundamentally what you're saying is not wrong. The investment we are making in this can easily be recovered once the platform is fully integrated in an 18-month period, really, right? 18 to 20-month period. So I think that's why we've been saying that our entry price is so low that it allows to take a big bet on Rare becoming much bigger, being a lot more useful to its community. So you're right. Our investment is so small that we think once the platform is stabilized, we should be able to recover it back in 18 months to 20. I wouldn't be as optimistic to say a single year, but we would think about 18 months to 24 months is what we will recover our investment.
Yeah, so two questions here. So one, because both the line items on the top line are fee income, usually fee income has a much larger flow through. So we at DC only 25-30% flow through. So one, why is that? And then let's say even if you take, let's say 15 crore EBITDA for, you know, which is, let's say 1 year or 1.5 years out, and, you know, the promoters sold it for 49 crores. Looks extremely cheap, right? I mean, from seller's point of view, I mean, why did they sell so cheap?
Okay, so a couple of things. Our margins are low because we are not investing in building our own distribution. We are renting it, Rajiv, right? So if we were to not have an affiliation with a global distribution like Bonvoy, on paper margins will look higher. But we are also aware that the upfront investment will be a lot more and the success rate may be really poor, okay? So we have taken the route of the margins being more moderated because we know that we are renting the, we are piggybacking on a global affiliation. That's point one. Point two, and absolutely right, this is what we've debated internally, that from a financial return perspective, if we really mess this up, this should be a 5-6x, right? If we totally mess this up. And if we do it right, then this could be the sort of investment that all investors, this could be the seize candy moment for Sammy, where, you know, the investment you're making should be your return every year for the rest of the life, right? Now, why did the current team engage with us? So first of all, don't forget, they continue to own 30%, which is really sizable as we scale up this business. All of you will meet Shobha at some point. She is an artist. And for her, finding the right strategic partner was more important than seeking a headline number, right? And I think there was a bit of elegance when they recognized that the current business model is not producing the revenue. So the first question that Vikas asked about valuation, right? So you take the first and the last thing, and you realize somewhere in between is where you discover value, where the existing shareholders have a lot more value to be created in future with this investment. Therefore, don't get fully priced for future value. And we've not looked back in the past to value the portfolio, but we've looked at the future to make sure that all constituents seek excitement in terms of their wealth creation. So I think, Rajiv, you know, we felt that Shobha was looking for a strategic partner and not an investor. I completely agree with you. She may have found better valuation with a strategic investor, and the sort of valuations being talked about today in this space are insane. They're not even close to 35. You will have to add one more zero to that, really, right, for this scale. So I think it's about finding that unique partner, and she's not a young startup founder for the last 4 or 5 years chasing valuation. She's a legend in this space who's been doing it for the last 2.5 decades. Her reputation precedes her, and I think she was looking for more than just investors. She was looking for a real partner. And our ability to stitch this whole affiliation between Rare and Marriott is, I think, what creates most value for everybody, us, her, property owners, and hopefully Marriott as well.
That's great. Can you point out what is the enterprise level revenue for this asset last year for 67?
It's only subscription. They're not doing any B2C sales. It's just 3 crores.
No, the enterprise level, in the sense, if you were to, let's say, own the entire,
what's the total enterprise sales of the 67 hotels? You have it in the model now. But 200, just open the model. Rajiv, give us a second, we'll come to you. We have it in the Excel.
Yeah. While we do that, one slide above, which is slide 10, the total investment you're doing is 47 crores. The post-money valuation is 72 crores, 49 plus 23. It comes to close to 65%, right? And you said 70%. Can you stitch the math? I mean, what is it here?
No, so there's also secondary, right? This is not primary.
So no, the 47 includes primary, secondary, right? In the sense, 47 divided by 72.
No. It includes everything, primary and secondary.
Yeah, so 47 divided by...
Give the max number.
23 crores
primary. Why don't you come closer? Yeah. Just a second. And by the way, Bywell and Nakul comes here to answer. 250 crores is the enterprise-wide sales.
Gross sales, Gross sales. Hi, Nakul here. So the transaction is structured into two, a primary and a secondary. Primary is of around 23 crores. Again, divided in two tranches. One is upfront. The second would be within 12 months. The secondary is around 24 crores. Again, part of it is upfront and part within 12 months. Total enterprise value on a pre-money basis is around 49 crores. So that's kind of how the transaction is stitched. So total cumulative investment is
40. I got that. So your pre-money is 49, 23 is your primary, put together post-money becomes 72, and your total investment you're putting is 47. 47 divided by 72 becomes 65 versus 70% is what you have said. So are we missing something here?
No, because we are buying the secondary purchase is happening right now at 49 crores, right? Actually, sorry, two stages. The first is happening at 40 crores, right? So you're right. The first primary purchase is happening at not 49, but 40 crores. The second one is happening at a price which gives a blended value of 49 crores. So you're absolutely right. You know, it's slightly lower than that, the way maths work.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Rajiv, we'll put it on an Excel if you need it, just to kind of clarify how the structure is. But because the deal is being structured in a 12-month phase, even though it's a small amount, what's happening is that the first round, actually, that we're investing now or will invest in the next month or so will be at a pre-money of 40 crores. It's the second round which takes it to a blended value of 49 crores. But we already have some primary upfront as well, right? Secondary upfront as well. So that's why the gap of 5% on our calculation is coming.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Raghav Malik from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the acquisition. Just a question, a follow-up on the pipeline that you have in place, the 25 hotels that are already set to come up. So how many of those would be in that 40-45K plus sort of pricing range, obviously on full scale? And what is the time period for these 25 hotels to come up?
I think it will follow the same pattern. So when we talk about 70% of hotels remaining upwards of 25,000 rupees, I think the pipeline, it's fair to assume, will remain very similar, especially when you onboard those properties. How you yield manage and enhance the productivity and performance, obviously, is the factor of distribution. So for future properties, we should not assume any significant rate variation. We should follow the similar trend, right? About 30% of the properties are upwards of 40,000 rupees, highly experiential, very unique. Most properties are upwards of 25,000 rupees, again, very, very experience-led. In very unique locations. So I think the pricing, the ARR distribution will remain pretty much the same, actually.
So, but there'll be a delta that'll come in post the Marriott integration, right? On the ARR.
My sense is
my sense is 15%, 15-odd% improvement is just the power of distribution and the ability to fill up the demand curve brings you that 15-20% upside. That's what we've seen in actually any segment in sector. But in the end, a lot also depends on the rare owners, because they are the custodians of those hotels, and how do they want to drive the performance?
Sure, understood. And for the 120, 150, like what is the rough medium term timeline? Indicator.
So I think, as I said, that the path to from current 67 to let's say 90 to 100 is pretty short term. We should think in the next 12 to 15 months, right? And then we would expect that another year or so, we should get to that intended 120, 150 number. I think that's based on mapping the existing pool of opportunities, because don't forget, Rare typically looks at a property having had some legacy, has been in operation. So typically a new built asset is highly unlikely to be a Rare hotel. But therefore, which means that the pipeline that you're talking about, there is a reasonable amount of scanning which has been done. So we think that 120 to 150 should be, as we mentioned here, should be a clear target. The first target being met in 15 to 18 months, and the second, let's say, year and a half after that.
Sure, that's very clear. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek Khanna from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ajish. I'm audible. I was just wanting to check when you said 250 crores of revenue from the full platform as things stand today. Does that not seem a little lower in the context of a 25,000 ARR and 40% odd occupancy? I would have thought that number comes closer to a 400, 500 crores. That's one. For the 250 crores, I think the numbers that I'm getting is maybe 25,000 ARR and an occupancy which is more closer to 22-23%, unless something I'm going wrong with. The second, when you say you're expecting a 50 crores of B2C income, what is the level of revenue that you are assuming these hotels to generate versus if the current number is about 250 crores or so?
Yeah, so Abhishek, what we've done is we've taken a 35% occupancy and just an average rate of about 20,000 rupees to get to that 250 CR. That's just a modeling number. In terms of the occupancy, we clearly think that when we looked at the demand patterns, we've really looked at the fact that the occupancy should be not less than, I think, 50-55%, and the rate should move up at least, in our opinion, about 50-odd%. So the occupancies need to really move up, and that's just the power of distribution. So most of the upside will actually come from occupancy increase. We have assumed, or we have underwritten, that there will be approximately a 10-odd% CAGR in the rates over the next 2 years as we strengthen the distribution. And that's how with the network, with the 120 or 125 hotel network, we think that the total value of the income in the assets will be about 800-odd crores, right, which is currently about 255-260 crores. So it will be about 800-odd crores, and then the total B2C income will be in circa about 100-odd crores.
So it's 800 crores for the full 140, 160 hotels, which means ballpark.
125,
which means, let's say, 400 odd crores is the potential for the existing portfolio as things stand today. Against which you're expecting a B2C income of 60 crores and a bit of 15 crores. Just to confirm one thing, while I got the sense of it from a response to an earlier participant, but the delta between the EBITDA and your B2C income is largely what goes to the affiliate partner out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So okay. The majority is the affiliation fee and very small overhead, really.
Just one final question. I agree this is something, again, going back to the same question of why not going directly to Marriott, and I understand that Marriott would probably not be interested in doing these 15-20 key properties as things stand today. Do you think there is an outer chance that once they've created a category with you, they might just be open to do it anyway with the partner directly without making too many enhancements to the asset per se.
So as you know that Marriott has launched this platform called Outdoor Collections by Marriott Bonvoy in the US. And the Outdoor Collection is exactly intended to curate a platform of these back and beyond experience-led small properties. What is important, Abhishek, is to note that Rare now, under the affiliation, will have an exclusive rights for Outdoor Collection by Marriott Bonvoy for India, Nepal, Bhutan, and Sri Lanka. So it's a pretty substantial commitment from both partners that they are allowing Rare to be the exclusive partner for Outdoor Collection by Marriott Bonvoy, which is the platform which helps them curate such assets in the U.S. So we think that this affiliation, and by the way, Marriott will also commit capital, through a different manner to ensure that as we launch this platform, there is very strong marketing funds available from the Outdoor Collection, Marriott Bonvoy. So it's not just our, investment that we're making in there. It's also that Marriott will also co-sponsor, especially more on the funding the OPEX in the initial time. So it's a, while the numbers are very small, but it's a substantial commitment from both, all three actually, Rare, Sammy and Marriott, to be able to use Rare as the exclusive platform for the Outdoor Collection. So will there be a possibility that if somebody is doing a 60, 70 room hotel, Abhishek, answer is absolutely yes, and that is usually not a typical Rare hotel also. So that segment, that scale, we cannot comment on, but yeah, the smaller, the true 12, 15, with a history, we'd like to believe the majority of them will remain to be on the Rare. There are always leakages in these things, Abhishek, which we can't deny, but I'm just talking about the intended strategy and commitment of the partners today.
Sure. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, T.
So thank you so much, everybody, for your time today. As I mentioned earlier, we have stayed away from leisure, but we feel that taking this small asset-light bet will give us entry into a segment which, honestly, with the discretionary and the disposable income in India growing, could well itself be a very large segment. So while we remain focused on what we know best, do best, love most, which is tier one boring business hotels, which make a lot of money, we do think that our strategic investment in there with the existing team and Marriott affiliation will turn out to be a pretty sizable platform that I think we'll just enjoy, not just as investors, but I also hope all of you will enjoy as travelers also. So look forward to talking to you all soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sammy Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.